Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Wednesday. We're halfway done, folks. That's the good news, right? Like, right now is probably the very center of a lot of people's week.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of Wednesday. You're probably just a hair closer to the end than you are to the beginning. That's a good feeling,
that's
right?
Good feeling, yep.
Absolutely. We've been talking about a lot of issues today. We talked a little bit about Corey Lewandowski facing off. Facing off is about right. With Jerry Nadler and that congressional circus. And my assessment of that is that it is clearly reality show television. We have lost control. Our representatives and senators, our congressmen and women are not in D.C. to legislate. They're in there to win the next campaign. And if an impeachment trial gets you some votes in some places, they're going to go do it.
They're going to do it.
So Corey Lewandowski made a mockery of that yesterday. And I don't know that anybody takes Corey Lewandowski any less seriously today than they did last week. Jerry Nadler and the rest of those representatives, maybe. Maybe. I think people are going to not care. They're going to be more concerned about Sean Spicer's green fluffy T-shirt or flowy whatever it is than on Dancing with the Stars than they are going to be with this mess. We've also been talking about legalizing weed in the state of Illinois and how that's going to happen January 1st. And before I get to our guest, who's from the Illinois Policy Institute, real quick, I want to react to something from a caller we had previously. You guys, in your thoughts and opinions real quick on the comment that he made about how he drives high all the time?
No, you should not be driving under the influence of anything ever. That is a complete hazard, and you're putting yourself and other people in danger.
The other people is the thing that, question that is the huge question mark that there is for me in the whole issue. If you want to go drink yourself into oblivion, you have the right to do that.
Right.
But if it starts to affect my life and my, you know, my family, I've got a big thing to say about that.
Yep. And I said at the end of that last segment that if I was on the road late at night and I had to choose whether the person driving the vehicle near me was either really drunk or really high, I would elect really high because I think it's less dangerous, but it's still wrong and it's still bad. And I have always
should
said,
should it be illegal? Yeah. Is it illegal?
It should be, in
a state where it's legal to smoke
marijuana, in my very libertarian opinion, marijuana should be regulated much the same as alcohol.
Yes.
It should be illegal to drive high, just like it is. It should just fall under DWI, driving while intoxicated. Whether or not that intoxicant is alcohol or a drug or marijuana, whatever, it should just still be a DWI. And so you should not. Yeah, it should be illegal. And you should certainly not drive while under the influence of anything.
Yeah. Well,
I still think, though, that marijuana is, on the whole, safer than alcohol.
Same. All right. Well, we could continue this conversation throughout the course of the show. If you want to get on and get one of the open spots that's available right now to talk about it in the next segment, you can give us a call right now and get in line at 314-241-9797. There's a lot going on in the state of Illinois, and we've seen many people discuss the legalization conversation as like a financial solution for the state of Illinois. But we've also seen recently here, J.B. Pritzker starting to talk about spending cuts. So I wonder why that is. Let's talk to Eric Conies, the marketing manager at Illinois Policy Institute, also a friend of mine. You can find more online at illinoispolicy.org. Eric, thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So when you saw the news of J.B. Pritzker warning state agencies that there are significant budget cuts coming, is that something where fiscal conservatives across the state can say, yes, finally, we're going to rein it in and these budget cuts are going to help solve the problem of our fiscal peril that we're facing in the state of Illinois?
I would advise people to temper their excitement about this. So what Governor Pritzker's memo said was for state agencies to propose a scenario where there would be a 6.5% across-the-board cut to their agency budgets. I can totally understand why people would be excited about that, but it really, I think, reveals a couple of things. One, it belies the reality that this is not the way to actually fix the state's problem. The biggest driver of the state's problem is, of course, the pension crisis. And cutting 6.5% from all these individual agencies is not going to fix the state's pension crisis. Moody's was out with a report earlier this week that now pegs the state's total pension debt at $250 billion. 6.5% budget cuts across all state agencies are not going to address that problem. You can't address that problem without a constitutional amendment that allows us to protect currently earned benefits while allowing the state to control for the future increase in those costs. The other thing that I think it does is this is also, I think, setting up a scenario where it's going to be an argument for the progressive tax next year.
You're
going to have to start cutting money from all these agencies, and you don't want us to do that, right? You don't want us to cut core services. Oh, may I remind you, it's pensions that are crowding out our spending on core services. But you don't want to do that. We need to raise your taxes. And what Illinoisans should remember is this. In 2013, they were told by their political leaders, their lawmakers, let us raise your taxes, it'll fix our problems. It didn't. In 2017, they were told, let us raise your taxes, it'll fix our problems. It didn't. Now they're going to be told, let us change the whole structure of taxation in Illinois and raise taxes. It'll fix our problems. It won't. Only pension reform will do that.
Is there any possibility? We've kind of heard some rumblings out of Chicago where the pension system is broken and suggesting that reform is needed. That was kind of a shock to hear that even that would be considered. Is pension reform even a possibility with this governor?
It could be. I mean, I want to be the optimist and think that this is a very obvious problem and it is going to need that solution because there is no other solution that will work. It was good to hear outgoing Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel say that we need to amend the Constitution. It was good to hear some signals from current Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot that she'd possibly be open to that as a solution. Those are good signals, and it shows that there is a recognition that the state's pension problem is unsustainable. And we just need to keep reminding people that there is no fiddling on the margins answer to a $250 billion unfunded liability. You need to make a fundamental change, much like Arizona did, that allows us to change the structure, that allows us to really protect current workers as well, and allows the state to finally get these costs under control going forward.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this conversation continues to shape up. So are you saying that the governor is asking for proposals from these agencies on how they could cut? Will that those suggestions come from the agencies themselves?
Yeah, so he's asking them to plan for a scenario where there would be 6.5% across the board cuts to their agencies. So they'll have to produce a memorandum to the governor, I suppose. Some doctors saying, hey, you know, this is what we would do if we were cut 6.5% across the board. But again, it's just this is all window dressing around the real problem. If we're not going to address the pension problem, we're not actually going to fix the state's fiscal problems at all.
Well, Eric, we are going to continue to follow IllinoisPolicy.org and see the information that is based on facts that comes out of Illinois Policy and see how this shapes up. I'm sure that there are many proposals that have been put out there by Illinois Policy leading up to this point, and no reason to think that they're going to stop. But I also encourage people to join the Lincoln Lobby, which is a Facebook group. You want to talk real quick about the Lincoln Lobby and what Illinois Policy is doing with that Facebook organization?
Absolutely. So we hear from people all the time that, you know, they appreciate the information we put out, but what can they do about it? The Lincoln Lobby is our group for top activists in the state, for people who want to make a difference. In that group, we'll keep people informed on what's going on, what we're working on, what's happening in Springfield. You'll get insider information. It's really an opportunity, if you want to change the state, to find out the best possible ways you can do that. If you want to join, go on Facebook, type in Lincoln Lobby, request to join there. We'll ask a couple of questions, mention the Annie Fry Show in one of those questions so we know you were listening. And we hope to see you in there, and we hope to find more people who are working to change the state for the better.
Yep, absolutely. Eric, thanks so much for the time today. It's always great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon online at illinoispolicy.org and join that Lincoln Lobby. I enjoy the Lincoln Lobby. Katie is a member of the Lincoln Lobby. She's
They've
not
got
even
some good stuff.
Part of the land of Lincoln.
Nope, just
keep, a voyeur.
Yeah. Trying to see what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, give us a call, 314-241-9797. I'll take a quick phone call before we go to a break here. And we've been discussing this marijuana issue a bit, and I'm interested to hear what y'all folks have to say. Let's start with Ben. Ben, thanks for calling the show.
I don't know if you're going to keep me because my signal keeps going in and out. But anyway, I love you, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling.
I agree with you guys that, yes, it should be illegal just like driving while intoxicated. But let me give you a couple of scenarios. There's been a couple of times that my daughter's mother has been acting a fool to where she left the house somewhere and I had to go pick up.
Mm.
Being drunk and having to go pick up, I wasn't so happy about it, but as soon as I picked up, I knew I needed to let her drive. But being high one time and picking up, actually it made me more focused on the road and more careful. And I guess you want to say more paranoid. And also I noticed that when I do smoke it from time to time, I can work better and stay focused on, you know, one thing instead of hopping from this, hopping to that, hopping to that. But it does, for me, like the one guy, Mike, said, now I don't get high every day and all.
Oh, we lost him.
Darn.
Dang it. Well, then you can call us back. Get a better connection and call us back. It's an interesting conversation, and I am sitting here from a place of ignorance. I personally am not advocating for anybody to smoke. I don't, you know, if my kids come home and I find out they're smoking weed, they're going to be in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Big trouble, especially because they're 9.
And they're small.
Yes. But I mean, it's not, I would say the same thing with alcohol, and you can't have alcohol till you're 21. So I am personally not for marijuana to be influencing my life in any way. Now, if it becomes legal, which it is in the state of Illinois, is it going to be influencing my life in any way? That's where the law comes in. That's where the law and regulations and legislation comes in and says you have a right to do this until it infringes on Annie's rights as an individual. That's where regulation is supposed to come in. So you can drink alcohol. You can get drunk. It's not illegal to get drunk, but you cannot put yourself behind the wheel. You cannot disturb the peace. You cannot, get drunk and get handsy and harass somebody. There are lots of regulations surrounding that. I'm very much so in support of medical uses for marijuana in cases where I've been in discussions with people who have benefited from it and they've been in stage 4 cancer position and they said that's what helped them. And I have every reason to believe them on that. But it's an interesting topic. So, Tammy, Kevin, you guys are up first. 314-241-9797 if you'd like to join this conversation. You can educate me. You can educate everybody. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Get this devil off
my... Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Talking about weed.
Talking about weed.
I there are a lot of things that I know a lot about that I discuss on the show. I often don't talk about this issue because I don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm. I just said on the break that it interests me very much. I like talking about weed. I like hearing people that are very scientific and know a lot about the product. I like to hear what they have to say. And I also like to hear people that don't know that much about it and what their idea, their general idea about weed would be. And my idea is that I really, really want the stigma that it is the boogeyman hiding in your closet to end. I do not think it's that bad, nor do I think it's the gateway drug. Those are the two. Those are my opinions.
So if so, you say you want the stigma to end. So let me ask you this question. And Tammy and Kevin, hold on. I'm going to get to you in just a second. If you, what do you feel people think? The stigma that is behind it. If somebody were to find out that you smoked weed, what do you not like that they assume about you?
I think that whenever, if you were to say, I smoke weed, people are like, you are a low life, deadbeat, still living in your mom's basement, don't have a job, can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. That's what I think that people believe whenever you say you smoke weed. And that's not the case.
Tony, would you say that there are people who don't fit in that category smoking weed on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah.
There are plenty of productive people.
Would you think that is it majority people that are the low lifes, or is it split, or is it?
No, I don't. I mean,
because people don't talk about it.
If you think about somebody,
for that purpose, exact reason, Katie.
If you say to somebody, oh, I have a friend so-and-so that drinks almost every night of their life, It puts a picture in your head. But there are a lot of people out there that have a beer or two or a glass of wine in every evening after work and, you know, may drink an alcoholic beverage 6 or 7 days a week that aren't, you know, people that are alcoholics or, you know, not productive people, but it puts a picture in your head when you hear, oh yeah, this person drinks every night. Just like I think Katie's accurate when she says that that's the picture that goes into somebody's head when they say, oh, that person smokes weed. I don't think it's accurate. Do those people exist on both?
Sure.
On both ends? Of course they do. But I don't think that that's an accurate depiction of every person that does that.
And I think a lot of people believe that you can't be
productive. I mean, wouldn't the whole state
productive?
Of Colorado and California and Oregon 100%. And all these, like, wouldn't they just, all those states would just collapse,
yes.
Right?
I mean, no jobs, no one would have a job, yeah. There would be no income, no economic growth. I don't know, I just...
Just like anything, just like alcohol, just like ice cream... Just like sugar, just because you say something should be legal doesn't mean I'm saying you should do it all day, every day.
Right.
It should be legal just like
here's the thing that
alcohol
I,
is
this
legal.
This is the thing that as a very outsider, objective person to this issue, I think that the words regarding marijuana usage should never be like you should be able to or you shouldn't be able to. Like, it's not whether or not you should. It's not whether or not it's good for you. It's not whether or not you're going to make better life decisions or worse decisions on it. It's about how your usage of it affects other people, which I would say is about as libertarian of a perspective as you can get, where it's like if you want to make this your path, and it's going to make you better at what you do or make you the stigmatized version of this, that's on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually did a podcast about this, a very long, in-depth conversation about marijuana a few months ago. And I was a guest on a podcast. And the host was against marijuana, but he's also against alcohol. And that's...
Which you can kind of understand.
Well, that's the only...
The correlation between
the
two.
Yeah, absolutely. And I told him that I will very seriously and respect his opinion and take it very seriously and respect it because he's against alcohol as well. If you tell me that you don't think there's anything wrong with alcohol being legal and that the laws that we have in place are fine and we do a great job of regulating alcohol, but you don't... think that marijuana should be legal.
You're asking for consistency.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm asking for consistency, and you're not going to convince me that there's a giant difference in the two things.
Let me take some phone calls here. People are ringing the phones. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Love to hear what your opinion is on this issue. Tammy, thanks for calling the show.
Hello. So on the issue of impairment and driving under the influence, my ex-husband took 2 Tylenol PM and then decided to go to Walmart. and he got stopped on his way home. He got 1 year's probation for driving under the influence and got a ticket because he ran a red light. So, according to the state of Missouri, if you drive under the influence of any kind of anything that impairs your driving, you can get arrested.
Oh, yeah. That is interesting. Tammy, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Marijuana should fall under that as well. It should be driving while intoxicated. And intoxicated could mean from alcohol, which is a drug, or any other drug. So, in my opinion, marijuana should be, the laws on marijuana should be similar to the ones with alcohol. You can't be high and drive. You shouldn't be high and
go to work. Yeah.
Right. But if you want to have a, if you want to smoke a joint after work before you go to bed,
there you go.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Kevin, thanks for holding on the phone. Appreciate you calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Regarding the Illinois pension issue, people have such short memories because, if you remember Governor Quinn, I'm a Missourian, Governor Quinn tried to go after the pension. And they couldn't. He was overruled. It was unconstitutional. But the thing that he threatened to do, and nothing ever happened, was he said, I may not be able to cut into your pension, but I can sure as hell take away or deeply cut your health care benefit. And it nothing ever happened. But right now, I'm glad I don't live over in Illinois, and it's kind of hard for me to feel sorry even for conservatives because I think they're not doing a very good job. But
you don't feel sorry for me, Kevin? You don't feel sorry for me?
I'm sorry, don't, because I think your husband is a teacher or somebody in your group is a teacher.
No, my husband. My husband is a seventh grade teacher.
I have a problem with that to where I'm in my 41st year of working, and,
my husband being a teacher?
I have a problem with teachers retiring after 30 years and get 80% of their salary and other perks, whereas the customer, me, has to work my butt off for another 5 or 10 years. So that's part of the ugly thing that nobody wants to talk about.
Well, Kevin, let me respond to that on my husband's behalf and on my behalf as his very defensive wife. You can't be mad at him. You got to be mad at a system that allows that to happen. And if you talked to any of the people who work with my husband, if you talk to my husband specifically, I couldn't answer the question for him, but I think you'd find it very interesting how the people who are part of this system feel about these specific issues. And I got to tell you, Kevin, the number one way to make sure that we do not persuade the greater public into fixing this problem is to make the teachers the ones who are causing the problems. They are benefiting from a system that is set up for them. But to suggest that you would be mad at my husband for being a teacher, man, he's doing the Lord's work every day.
And I agree. That's just one instance. I mean, you could apply that to, you know, federal workers. The bottom line is that, you know, if you're not a government worker and you're not in a union, you're in that 70 to 80%. And we're the ones that carry the ball. We really are because we don't get those perks, but yet we pay for them when we get a tank of gasoline or walk into a store or a school. We're paying that pension tax, the union tax, whatever you want to call it.
The thing I'll add to that, too, and I really do appreciate your phone call, and thank you for weighing in on this issue, is that my husband pays the same gas taxes. My husband pays all the other taxes, which is why I want to stress so much. If anybody is listening to me right now and hears this conversation and hears me say that the teachers are to blame, listen closely, read my lips. No new taxes.
That's right.
The teachers would say the same thing. They pay the same taxes. No, they don't pay into their pensions the way they should. But I'll tell you what, they also know that the pensions that are being promised to them aren't going to be there. And when you tell them, especially there's tier one, tier two, tier three, my husband is in tier two. My husband has been told by people who are running for very high office in the state of Illinois that the first claim that is made from a tier two pensioner, there is going to be a lawsuit and it's going to be gone. And for the people who are taking tier one, I talk to them as well. And they know that the system is broken. They don't want to get to be 85 and then have something drop out and then they don't know what to do. Everybody knows it's broken, and the people responsible for it are in Springfield right now. It is not the person who is educating our kids in the classroom right now. And, Kevin, if you didn't mean to say it that way. I just want to clarify for everybody listening that we are building the future of our state and our country with these teachers in the classrooms, and they know what's going on. They need to be empowered to vote in their best conscience, their family's best conscience, the state's best conscience, not with a union that only wants to protect the union.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's well said. You said it too. Be mad at the system. Don't be mad at the people taking advantage of it. Everybody has a chance to try to negotiate your own deal. Teachers, that's one of the benefits to becoming a teacher, especially in the state of Illinois. Is it a fiscally responsible setup? Probably not.
No.
But teachers,
I can answer that.
But teachers, you know, they choose to go into that, and they choose to go into that profession, and there's a lot of things that are negative. They're not, most of them are underpaid. A lot of them have to spend a lot of their own money on the things that are in there, that are provided to the kids within their classrooms. And that's one of the perks. And if you want that perk, then go become a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Be a teacher.
And if you want, or if you want that perk, try to negotiate it into the next time you get a job and fight for your own best deal. It's like saying I hate athletes because they make so much money and they don't deserve. I agree with all that.
You go hit 102 mile an hour fastball.
Do they deserve to make $100 million to play a game? Probably not, but they're able to get it. That's the deal that they are able to make for themselves.
This is America.
Yeah. So I can't begrudge them for make, and I try to make my best deal every time I have an opportunity to get a job or get a promotion or sign a contract. I try to fight from, and that's what everybody should do. And because the teachers get a pension and is one of their perks, everybody should get what they can get.
And this mm-hmm. is the problem. To Tony's point, we need to send people to Springfield in the state of Illinois who are going to advocate for the taxpayers'
yeah.
best
and
interest.
I bet
there
the
are
teachers...
bad faith negotiations taking place where, yes, teachers will get good deals out of it,
yeah.
but there is nobody advocating on the other side strongly for the taxpayers, because the people who are elected in office in the state of Illinois, funded heavily by the unions yeah. that are negotiating our tax dollars for deals for the people who, previous to the Janus decision in the Supreme Court, had to pay union dues regardless if they
right.
wanted to or not.
I could be wrong about this, but I would guess that there are many teachers that would be willing to let that severance, that retirement issue go if they made more money, if
yeah,
they made more
pay,
money
yeah.
and they didn't, and they had more support from districts and they didn't have to spend so much of their own money. If they, you know, you can get rid of those types of systems in other ways. And is it a bad system? Yeah. Does it work? No, but it's not the teacher's fault, and good for them. Good for anybody who can negotiate into, you know, a deal that gets,
you want to know,
is better for them.
A dirty little Annie Fry Show secret.
Mm.
Teachers tell me all the time that they listen and they love it. And they say that there are other teachers who listen and love it. And they whisper about us in the middle
in
of the day. They talk about us. They follow the Facebook page. And there's this little community of people all over. Same thing with other labor unions, other places that you would expect people to be not supporting fiscally conservative, responsible ideals. They are everywhere. I love my teachers. I married one, and I'm very proud of what he does. And I
you
see a lot of
one of your teachers.
I married a teacher.
Oh, okay.
He actually was in communication school with me and couldn't get a job, so he went back to school to be a teacher. And I, as I said, he is doing the Lord's work, and he does it every day. Let's take a quick break. More phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. I love teachers. Write that down. That's the footer of this whole segment. Yay, teachers. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Yeah,
Two things. You can talk about guns, you can talk about weed, and then people call.
Mm-hmm.
314-241.
Oh, strong opinion.
9797. Yeah. And love to have your thoughts and opinions on this. Tell a story real quick here about Illinois, just so that we can touch back with Herb Roach.
Oh, yeah, Herb Roach.
Mayor Roach.
Sure. The O'Fallon, Illinois mayor, Herb Roach, his name, is against the idea of legalization of marijuana in the state of Illinois, which, you know, happens in January. January 1st, the recreational marijuana will be legal in Illinois. Mayor Herb Roach has worked with the city council there, and they have approved an ordinance declaring dispensaries public nuisances. The mayor says that O'Fallon, Illinois, is known for safety and high-quality education. He was asked about the potential revenue that is generated by marijuana, and he says that he can overlook the revenue because it's not about the revenue. It's about the community's reputation and what's best for it. He does say that he is going to try to get a non-binding referendum on the March ballot to ask residents in O'Fallon if they think recreational marijuana should be sold in their community. So we'll see how that
Mr.
plays
Roach.
Out. But for now, they're not going to, it looks like they're not going to allow the sale of marijuana in the city of O'Fallon, Illinois.
All right. I want to take a couple phone calls here before I turn it over to the Dave Glover Show. Let's start with Sandra. Sandra, thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'm a high school math teacher. I worked at Energizer for a number of years, and when I worked there, I could choose to have profit sharing and buy stocks and also put money into 403B. I have done that. The teacher's thing is mandatory. You don't have a choice of where you invest your money, and I don't understand the hubbub about it. I just wish the people that are so upset by this, go teach for 1 week. Just 1 week, I challenge you, because I'm going to tell you, it's a lot harder than working in the private sector.
Sandra, you were talking about teaching. Did you teach in Missouri?
Yes, I teach in Missouri.
Yeah, I think that it's not a question about the difficulty of teaching, and I'm just gonna speak up a little bit for the last caller just to make sure that he doesn't get his words twisted out of what they intended. I think it has to do with the way the pension system is set up, and we were speaking about the pension system in Illinois, which is extremely broken, and there are many, many school districts in the state of Illinois where the teachers pay absolutely nothing into their own pensions. It's all covered by the state, and the 9.4% that they're supposed to contribute is picked up by the local school districts. So I think that's what he was talking about specifically in the state of Illinois.
Well, I totally can understand that, but I was attacked at dinner the other night because I have friends who work in the business sector, and they were upset by it. I said, look, I've been paying in 15% since I make $20,000 a year.
Sure. Yeah,
so
Sandra,
people need to realize that.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for what you do. We definitely appreciate it. I can't even imagine being a math high school teacher.
Oh, gosh, no.
Katie, will you do that one day? Just take over.
No. I would be like recess all day, every day. That's what's happening.
That's just how you manage this show.
That was a very
that re- is
reaction
a,
to.
I'm sorry. That's
Katie,
a bad,
what about being
bad
a math
subject.
Teacher? Oh,
no.
Oh,
are you
God.
Saying you respect Sandra and what she does?
I 100% respect any teachers. Yeah. And then someone that teaches math or science on top of it. Man, oh, man, you're a saint.
Funny. Let's go to Dean. Thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I know a lot of people who smoke marijuana. I've actually never smoked it myself. Having retired from the Army, I'd never had the opportunity to, and since retirement, I've just never done it. But I don't have any problem with people wanting to do it in the privacy of their own homes. I tend to think of it like you were saying before. It's kind of like alcohol, where it depends on the person. Some people, I think, can handle it and it doesn't affect them. But like my son, he's 25 years old, and when he's not high, he's thinking about getting high, and he's always talking about getting high. He's always talking about marijuana. So for him and people like him, it is an innocent issue, but I don't think it's any different than alcoholism.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, is for an alcoholic.
But Dean, thank you for the phone call. I'm gonna let Katie and Tony.
I think he's spot on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's exactly right. People can have you know, you can develop a dependency on alcohol, and I don't think you can develop a physical dependency on marijuana, but I'm sure you can develop a mental addiction to marijuana, just like you could to anything. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Any vice.
Yeah, I.
You've got to be wary of it. It's not like a free for all whenever it happens.
Yeah, it could happen to you with alcohol. It could happen to you with cigarettes.
Things that are already legal.
Yeah,
it could happen to you.
Yeah. I want to thank Brian on Twitter regarding the teacher pension situation in the state of Illinois. He says, he tweets at Andy Fry Show, I think the phrase you're looking for is, quote, hate the game, not the player. About Illinois
True.
Teacher pensions. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up for sure. And you know, it can, the only way you're going to change the game is to put elected officials in Springfield who understand the reality behind this problem, and to suggest, first of all, to suggest that they're only, that teachers don't pay the high taxes, the high property taxes, the high income taxes. I mean, those taxes are all the same. There's no like ID that you have to show to opt out of paying all of those taxes. The question is, they get like a 3% cost of living increase every year, except for it's not a cost of living increase because it has nothing to do with the actual increase or decrease in the cost of living. It's just a 3% raise. And these are the types of things that are not realistic. And the amount that you have to work to qualify to get the benefit that you're going to get for life is unbalanced. It's the taxpayers cannot sustain it because the taxpayers are leaving. And if taxpayers continue to leave and the population continues to decrease, then guess what? You're going to run out of people to fund the pensions, and you're not going to have pensions. Then what are you going to do? Let's take one more phone call here before we leave. Let's go with Chad. Chad, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, real quick.
So alcohol, you can directly link it to liver failure, heart problems, high blood pressure, a whole plethora of medical problems that stem from it. To my knowledge, they cannot link one medical problem to marijuana. That's basically it.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I know that the medical issues are certainly debatable in a non-favoring alcohol capacity. I'll get Jeremy's call in here, too, real quick. Jeremy, I only got a couple seconds. I wanted to get you in here.
Okay. I heard that that the money from the marijuana sales in Illinois is going to go towards areas that were negatively impacted by the war on drugs, which means it's not even going to go on our taxes or our deficit. It's going to go into big state or upper Illinois area.
Yeah, Jeremy, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I know that there's been lots of discussion as to where all this new tax revenue can go, and I understand the idea of having a regulated product out there is going to be able to make for a better, healthier product for people who do choose to participate in it. But it's wild. I mean, it's going to happen here on January 1st. And, you know, finally, I guess there'll be people who will be crossing over to the state of Illinois to buy stuff. I'll wave at them all while I'm coming over here to get my gas at Zoom from Leon. Hi, Leon. I hope that people are telling Leon hello. I don't know anything about Leon other than he was very nice to me when I went to get gas the other day. You don't need to do that. You cute.
You go to Missouri to get your gas. You go to Illinois to
get your weed.
Grass.
Dave Glover Show coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.